Welcome to Sideline Sleuths, a true crime podcast all about the tragic yet fascinating cases no one can seem to get enough of. I'm Megan.
And I'm Jasmine.
We're so glad you're listening. If you like being an armchair detective, you'll love being a Sideline Sleuth. Today we're going to talk about the 2012 unsolved murder of 16-year-old Hannah Truelove in Gainesville, Georgia. Hannah was last seen on August 23rd, 2012, hanging out with some friends in a grassy area in her apartment complex, Lake Lanier Club Apartments. The following day, her body was discovered by a passerby, pretty close actually, approximately just a quarter mile or so from her apartments, where she lived and where she was last seen. It has been nearly 7 years since Hannah was killed, and yet law enforcement are not any closer to solving it today than they were then. August 23rd, 2012 was a typical day for Hannah. She was a student at Gainesville High School, and since that was a Thursday, she went to school. According to Hall County School Board, classes began on August 10th that year, so school was back in session for about 2 weeks at the time she died. She didn't have any known enemies, she was well-liked, and seemed to be pretty popular at school. Hannah lived in the apartment with her mother, Mona. And when Mona arrived home from work, Hannah wasn't there. But she knew that she did come home from school because Hannah had checked the mail and it was just sitting on the couch. But instead of looking for Hannah, Mona decided to take a nap. And I don't think that's weird or suspect or anything because...
Yeah, hardworking mom is hard.
I am a huge fan of naps. So a 16-year-old is probably pretty independent and her mom said that she usually came home by dark. So I don't think it was weird that her mom wasn't initially concerned. Like, that's not significant. So, yeah, however...
The mail was there. She did responsible things. I take a nap, too.
Yeah, so
I'm gonna take a nap right now.
Yeah. So, whenever she woke up, the apartment was eerily quiet. And that's when she realized that Hannah still wasn't home. So, the first thing she did was call Hannah's dad, Jeff. The two were divorced, and Hannah lived with her primarily. But Mona said that Jeff and Hannah had reoccurring dinner plans often. So, she checked with him first to see if he had her. But Jeff said that he didn't. So then Mona called some of her friends, but like Jeff, they too said that Hannah wasn't with them. So a panicked Mona called the police to report her daughter missing. The police searched the apartment complex, which is gated the majority of the way around the property, as well as the surrounding neighborhoods, but there was no sign of Hannah. When a sudden but unrelenting storm hit Gainesville, Mona was sure that Hannah would come home. She thought that her daughter certainly would not be out in the rain, but Hannah didn't come home, and the search had to be put on hold due to the weather. The city of Gainesville received 2 to 3 inches of rain that night in the matter of just a few hours. Anyway, Hannah's apartment complex was very close to Lake Lanier. It was called Lake Lanier Club Apartments, so. And though the community was gated, it was not closed off near the part adjacent to the lake. So the woods were heavy with no clearly defined trails, but open enough that they would attract hikers and dog walkers. And it's in these woods that Hannah's body was found. An elderly man, he was out for a walk. I read that his grandchildren lived in the apartment, so he was either going to see them or coming from seeing them when he found her. On his walk, he saw what he believed to be a mannequin in what's they're calling a ravine. And if you listen to another podcast called Crime Junkie, one of their rules for life is that it's never a mannequin. So anyway, her body was discovered basically in this like drainage runoff area from the apartments. And as he approached the air quotes mannequin, he was able to determine that it was actually a human body. And his mind immediately went to Hannah, the girl in the complex he heard went missing the day before. Oh. And this was kind of weird to me because Hannah was found so close to her apartments in a spot that I read was not uncommon for the youths.
Street youths.
So, yeah. Saying that makes me sound like a grandma. But anyway, so it wasn't uncommon for the teens in the area to apparently hang out there frequently. Mm-hmm. Like, at least enough for people to know that sometimes they went over there. So maybe they didn't go, like, every day, but it wasn't weird for kids to be back there. So I'm not sure why the police didn't check there, like, really quickly. Like, if someone goes missing and their home, like, backs up to some woods, that should probably be at the top of your list of search locations. So in an episode we did recently, the murder of Nevaeh Buchanan, her apartments also were surrounded by a wooded area. And that's where they really focused the bulk of their search efforts on really early. But I don't know how long they were able to search for him, I guess, before the rain called it off. But they said that they searched around the apartments in the nearby neighborhood. But they could have done that for 30 minutes or something before the rain forced them to stop. Yeah. So when law enforcement officials arrived on the scene, they found that Hannah had been stabbed multiple times, saying, quote, that her injuries were indicative that she died from a violent death, end quote. But what they also found, or rather didn't find, made the difference in solving this case. The sudden rainstorm from the night before had unfortunately washed away any trace evidence from the scene that could have helped them solve Hannah's murder. Hannah herself had been, at some point, partially submerged in the water for at least a couple hours, so any evidence that would have been left on her body was also gone. And if you listen to our last episode, the college freshman murders, this also happened in the 1997 death of Brooke Holsenbach in South Carolina. She was found on a lake, and the water plus the rain washed away the evidence that could have helped police solve her murder, too. And also in our last episode, you might remember that Tommy Bearson had a really unsettling tweet leading up to his death. Well, in the days leading up to Hannah's death, she made a series of ominous tweets. On August 12th, she said that she had a stalker. On August 18th, she posted that she was, quote, so scared right now. And then on August 22nd, she said, I need to move out of these dang apartments. So that was just the day before she ended up being murdered outside of the apartments. But she also made posts about not wanting to ride the school bus anymore. So her dad thinks that she was maybe having some sort of, like, altercation with somebody on the bus. But other tweets seem to be cryptically describing a failed relationship or maybe a falling out with a love interest, though never specified.
That's the tricky part of those cryptic tweets.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people post really vague things. They want you to ask what's going on, but then they don't really want to tell you, but they want the attention, especially when you're a teenager. So though they were never specified, some quotes or lyrics she posted led others to think that she had just gone through or was, like, she just finished going through or she was presently going through a breakup. Things like, F love, or tell me what I want to hear, tell me that you love me, or you made a big mistake. Every time we talk, I feel sick. Things like that. So, on August 21st, she said, quote, I miss you, boy, and to be honest, you're all that I want, end quote. Is that a song?
I don't know.
But she was...
This is making me feel real old.
I'm not sure if she was directing them at anybody or if she was just posting lyrics. But for whatever reason, she at least wanted you to think she was directing them at somebody because that's what you do. Yeah.
Which is, listen, you can do it, kids, if you're listening out there. Go ahead. Tweet your heart out.
But make we're going to use it against you.
But also tell somebody what's up so we can find out who murdered you.
Yeah, maybe not against you, but we're going to really scrutinize your social media activity and try to see if it is significant in some way if you are involved in a crime.
So, or if you go missing. Yeah. At least give us some breadcrumbs so we can find you.
So, yes. More Have a Knife I Go Missing file. Okay, we'll talk about that some other time. So, on August 18th, she tweeted saying, quote, if my tummy doesn't stop hurting, I'm going to the doctor, end quote. And then again on August 22nd, so just the day before she was killed, she said, quote, I'm getting fat, like I have a little tummy now, end quote.
That's definitely cryptic. Yeah. I feel like that leads to one conclusion.
Let's see if it's the same one. So, I don't know if you use Reddit. Do you use Reddit?
Oh, every now and then.
Okay, so I love Reddit. It's like the land of rabbit holes and theory discussions. So, while I was deep in the Hannah murder threads on there, I saw lots of people assuming that those posts meant that she was pregnant. Yeah. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah. I'm sick. I have a little...
I'm getting a little tummy in my stomach hurts. Yeah. So, like, I'm getting fat, made it seem to them, at least, that this was a sudden onset of weight gain. And also a few days before, she had stomach pain. So on this other site called Web Sleuths, I saw a commenter who was, like, pretty convinced that Hannah was murdered over a potential pregnancy. They said, quote, Hannah was murdered because she was pregnant or the killer believed she was pregnant. without seeing the actual police and GBI reports. None of this has been confirmed, but just based on her actions the week prior, it makes sense. I would also be very interested in seeing the autopsy report to see where all the stab marks were. Many times a killer will stab a pregnant woman in the stomach, and this may have been the case with Hannah, too.
Oh,
end
my
quote.
Gosh. Web sleuths.
Yeah.
Rabbit holes open. I have fallen in.
Yes. It was, yeah, it was, but, like, all of the rabbit holes were, like, a pregnancy rabbit hole, basically. So, ordinarily, we could use an autopsy to confirm or deny this theory. But since this case is still considered an open investigation, none of these reports are available to the public yet. But I think that law enforcement would have definitely told us by now, like, if that were true. But,
maybe.
Like, I don't know. So I think that they would have been able to get some kind of biological, like, DNA or whatever from the fetus, probably, and use it to either eliminate or zero in on potential suspect
That's
or suspects.
Super strong
so,
point.
So
maybe. Oh, okay, I have a lot of thoughts, but I'm going to let you keep telling me.
Okay, so, if we get to a point where you can, like, interject it, let me know. So, that was kind of like a dead end to me because we don't know if that's officially true or false. So, one commenter said that they believe Hannah was trying to hint that she was pregnant as, like, an attention-seeking behavior because she was just gone through a breakup, so maybe she thought that if she was pregnant or suspected to be pregnant, it could lead her and the hypothetical father to working things out and reconciling.
Oh, right.
So, and that, I mean, I think claiming to be pregnant or making, posting vague things that would, like, make people inquire if you were pregnant seems way more plausible than her actually being pregnant.
Yeah, and especially around high school. Like,
yeah, 16's a...
Yeah, it's actually a very effective way of doing things.
Yeah, so I think that... Yeah, I don't know if she was pregnant or not, but I don't think it's far-fetched to say that she might have wanted people to think she was pregnant.
Yeah, and I can see how that could backfire, too.
Yes. So
I can see people being upset.
And doing something in a moment, yeah. So the quote-unquote stalker that Hannah mentioned doesn't seem to be something that leads anywhere. According to law enforcement officials, this was just, like, a young man who was romantically interested in Hannah, and she did not reciprocate his feelings, but he was not actually stalking her. It was more like someone who resurfaced often or was, like, somehow always around, and Hannah found his presence to be bothersome, but it did not appear that he was, like, legitimately harassing her or following her or threatened any way. And I've seen people, like, throw the stalker word around, like, somebody who texts you often, like, oh, he's stalking me, even though he's not. So, like,
it's just weird.
I have a gentleman who calls me frequently who I never answer the phone for, and I might jokingly to one of my best friends be like, it's my stalker, but he's really not my stalker. So he actually doesn't bother me at all. I just don't talk on the phone. So if you listen to this, I'm not, like, I don't not want to talk to you. Just text me instead. So
yeah, it's 2019. No one answers phone calls anymore.
Yeah, I'm not. I just watch it ring usually. So it did not appear that he was just more of a person who liked her, but it was just a one-sided feeling.
Yeah.
So. Police say that they chased that potential lead as far as they could, and everything else she said, and nothing, it didn't seem like she had any legitimate threats, so. Everything else on her Twitter, though at times definitely pretty cryptic, they chalked it up to all being, like, just normal teenage drama stuff. Unrelated general ramblings of a girl who ended up being murdered, but that her tweets were in no way related to her death. Which is weird, because Tommy was like, or Jake said on Tommy's, and come get us or we're gonna die, and that was not related either, so, like, just a word of caution. Be careful what you put on the internet, youths.
Yeah.
I'm going to start saying youths now.
I'm a very dramatic person, too, so I can
Same.
Relate.
Same.
I exaggerate all the time.
I was telling Jasmine earlier that I have whole filters on my Facebook that, like, don't let people see some of my more controversial or dramatic things I post, and this is why. So, but in the event that I am murdered or go missing, they will be used against me.
Oh,
well. YOLO. So... A bunch of odd coincidences, but nothing, like, substantial. On Reddit, a lot of people were like, I read her tweets, and I also came to this conclusion. She was totally pregnant. Like, I read her tweet. Her Twitter is still open, like, so you can still go look at it. And that's her, like, Twitter handle right there, if you want to go see her. I read them, and it really didn't seem like she was pregnant to me. It just seemed like rambling attention-seeking behavior, but I don't. All these people are like, "Oh, she definitely looks pregnant," or "It definitely looks like she's pregnant from what she's saying." And I don't know, but maybe they were also teenagers and they were like, "If I was pregnant, this is totally what I would do." So maybe that's why they think that. But if I was pregnant, I wouldn't
really vaguely tweet there. About it. Yeah.
I would feel like if you're really pregnant, a lot of kids hide that as long as
they... Yeah. I had a friend from high school who got pregnant. She didn't tell her parents for like 4 months. She just started wearing baggy clothes.
Yeah.
So, Hannah didn't have a cell phone, though there was some speculation after her death that she had a secret phone that her mom was just not aware of, but nothing has been found to substantiate that. When an interviewer asked Hannah's mom, Mona, about her daughter's social media activity, she seemed to be totally in the dark. And as a teacher of tweens and teenagers, this seems to be the case for lots of parents. So I'm just going to get on my soapbox for a second. And parents, please check your child's social media accounts. Know their passwords and read their messages. And no matter what they say, this is not an invasion of privacy. It is like a matter of safety. Not related to murder, but I do a district-mandated sexting lesson. You were there for that,
yeah.
Right? Okay. So I did it through all of our language arts classes and with every student on campus. So it's like 1,100 kids as part of the digital citizenship unit. And so I'm standing at the front of the room talking to all these students about their online behavior. And the look on their faces was really telling. You guys were in the back, so I don't know if the teachers saw it, but I could see these like wide-eyed, terrified looks. So I knew which students were sending and receiving nude photos. And our students are like 11 to 14.
Yeah.
So that was really alarming. And their parents are not checking their stuff.
Yeah. I don't know if they don't know. Or like
it seems or their kid says it's an invasion of privacy. Or something. I don't really care. Yeah. Like,
And I'm going to do it till you're 18.
One of the... Our new LPAC lady in the office, Melissa's sister, she her daughter's 20 years old and she still checks her phone. And she's like, as long as you live here, you're not going to be doing this. And I'm like, all y'all should be doing that. My son's going to get a jitterbug phone like an old person and be like so uncool. Yeah, give him a Nokia brick. But so Hannah was using the internet on her Nintendo DS to do all of this because she didn't even have a phone. So all of her communicating and social media interaction was through her, like, Game Boy.
Right. And I could see how that could go undetected.
Yeah. I didn't... Honestly. I mean, my son has a DS, and I never even thought that he could be on the internet on the DS. So that freaks me out, honestly. And a potential motive, though, for Hannah's murder has never been revealed, nor is it known if the police even have one. But they said that they have discounted numerous theories and chased every single lead given to them. So... Investigators believe that Hannah went into the woods voluntarily, likely with someone she knew, and that there may have been more than one person with her at the time she was killed, though they think only one person did the actual stabbing. So not only are they looking for the person who had the knife in their hand, but also any potential witnesses. So investigators say that there were no signs of a struggle, and that if Hannah had, I don't know, if she had been, like, dragged into the woods kicking and screaming, someone's more likely to remember that.
Yeah, for sure.
So that, plus them saying there's nothing indicative of a struggle, makes them think that she did just go in there, like, on her own free will. Like, she walked in the woods with somebody.
Yeah, and then it's, like, more difficult to see into the woods.
Yeah. A potential witness, or at least someone in the area, did come forward at some point to say that they saw Hannah with a black male the evening she was killed. They both exited a late 1990s or early 2000s silver four-door Chevy or Dodge. So honestly, they were not a really good witness because it's a late 1990s, early 2000s silver Chevy or Dodge. So the vehicle had significant front end damage though, and a lighter color door panel than the rest of the vehicle.
That's helpful.
With him saying that the door panel was either white or just a lighter shade of silver, but it was obvious that it was not like the same paint color. But okay, and I think that the male was the driver and that Hannah was a passenger, though it's not known if she was the only passenger or not, because they were just both seen exiting this vehicle. So somebody else could have been in the car still.
Got you.
But Hannah was seen alive again an hour and a half after that sighting. So that guy is more of like a person who is potentially connected or perhaps a witness than a suspect.
Yeah.
Because they parted ways. And she was still alive after that.
About, like, yeah, she might have mentioned what she was about to do.
Or who else she was with that day. Yeah, yeah. But it really could be anything. So police are obviously interested in talking with whoever that guy is and anybody else who is in that vehicle. So any other potential occupants. But they're not really saying that they're suspects, just more like they could know something.
Yeah. So I have so many questions about these sightings. So, like, they saw her an hour and a half later with no one? Like, she was alone? What was she doing?
I think she was in the grassy area outside of her apartments, because that was the last place they saw her. There was, like, a hangout spot.
Okay.
Where, like, the youths, that's, like, the fourth time I've said that.
Yeah.
The youths used to hang out there, and so they saw her get out of this car with this guy, but an hour and a half later, she was seen again there.
Okay.
So just, like, in Tommy's episode, they tweeted that, but he was seen again 2 hours later, so they're, like, it's not related. Not the so it's more just like they know that this guy was with Hannah the day she died. So what do you like? Did she say what she was about to go do when they separated? So someone left an anonymous post on Hannah's Facebook memorial page about, which is still up, about someone who lived in the area that like creeps everyone out. It was a weird post because they gave really identifying information about themselves, like what street they live on and like who they live with, but then said they really wanted to remain anonymous. And then they call out their creepy neighbor by name and say that he used to be like a good dude, but then he got on drugs and now he solicits prostitutes and behaves really bizarrely or inappropriately with young girls. And then they said that they fully believe that this neighbor was capable of harming Hannah. And I just, is that something you post on Facebook or is that something you tell the police?
You just go directly to the police.
Yeah.
I feel like.
And that was a lot of people's criticism of it. The way that
you did it is also telling about what kind of bizarre person you are. I'm not judging, but obviously I judge.
But maybe like another instance of people just want to be inserted in a case.
Yeah.
So, but also in these situations, they say, if you think you know anything, it might be nothing, but please report everything and we will determine if it's credible or not. So, but they posted it.
On the wall.
But they made a separate Facebook account. Like, they didn't post it from their own. They posted from a Facebook account that they named the name Anonymous.
And then gave their address.
And then said where they lived. Like, I live on, like, blah, blah, blah street in the third house on the left. And I have this creepy, basically, like, that specific. I don't know if they were, I don't remember if they really said the third house. But they, you could figure out who they were from what they said. But they were like, I would really like to be, like, anonymous. It was weird.
Okay, definitely weird.
So there's a lot of weird social media stuff in this episode. And none of it means anything.
Gosh, how disappointing.
Yeah.
All that spinning your wheels on the social medias. It's and nothing. It's fruitless.
So.
Let that be a lesson to you kids.
Yeah. Social media, man. The internet is forever. So, I don't think that Hannah was pregnant because I think that's something that police would have confirmed by now. Mm-hmm. And I also haven't seen any reports where they denied that, though, either. Which is weird, like.
It would be an easy thing to deny.
Yeah, I feel like there would be, like, there's been some speculation that Miss True Love was actually pregnant and the medical examiner has found that to be false or baseless or something. But they haven't said she was pregnant, but they haven't said she wasn't pregnant. So she could have been. And it could have been something that they're playing really close to, because they haven't released any motive. And that would be a big motive.
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't know. My gut is telling me she wasn't pregnant. And those were more like attention-seeking posts. But I don't know. I just feel like one way or the other they would have said something. But I do think she was likely killed by someone that she was friendly with and trusted. And I don't know if that has anything, the vehicle, like the silver Dodge, whatever. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. I just like people reporting anything. But it seems that this unexpected storm really did the killer or killers a favor, because now no blanks can be filled in. Like anything, any potential evidence was like ruined in that. And I don't know. If she wasn't pregnant, I can't think of a motive. So that's like the only reason, I guess, that I'm still like, I don't think she was pregnant.
Like typical teenage things. Like, I mean, most girls are pretty mean to each other around that age. And if you're on social media and you're active and it's like publicly being mean.
But if they did find anything like that, they didn't say it, because they really haven't, other than saying she was repeatedly stabbed and all these, like, died of violent, all they said was her wounds are indicative that she died a very violent death. Yeah. But they didn't say what she was stabbed with, where she was stabbed, why she was stabbed, none of that. Yeah. So it's not cold, I guess, and it's still open.
I almost wonder if her having a cell phone in this case would have made it more, like, it would have been more helpful.
Yeah.
Because they could have looked back at, like, oh, well, these are the messages.
And it pinged here, and it did this, and this is where her and the guy in the Chevy Dodge were.
Yeah.
And these were the other, because remember?
Since she's so active.
Yeah. Yeah, because she was. And if you remember in Molly and Colt's missing person case, they determined that Molly and Colt were with Nip because their cell phones were on the same spot. Exactly. So that could have really helped them too. Exactly. So now I want to not get my son a jitterbug. Thanks, Jasmine. Brogan will thank you for this when he's older.
I'll look at both sides of the coin.
So I feel like I know likely one of her friends murdered her, and they have just
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, they've just been existing in the same area, in the same circle of friends as Hannah. Like, nothing ever happened.
Which is crazy to think about. But yeah, I feel like girls go off into the... I mean, like, they're trusting. There's no reason to...
They could have went to get high in the woods or something. That seems like drunk, a really typical teenage behavior.
Yeah.
So, in many of the cases we talk about, where we're like, we don't know if this will ever be solved, but if it is, it's only going to be because somebody was finally moved by a guilty conscience to come forward, or more likely that they need the information as leverage in a future crime. Mm-hmm. So it's really like we just got to wait that out for them to make another questionable decision. Mm-hmm. So last summer, one of my old students was killed in a hit and run, and it was like super publicized on the news in Dallas. But then they only found his killer because her friend used it as leverage in a future arrest. Oh. When she was like, okay, so let me tell you about this girl I know who killed that motorcyclist. So on her, yeah. So,
and I think that's an unfortunate way, but you know what? Like,
I just would like it to get solved regardless of why, but it's just sad that people don't care enough until it benefits them. Like, they're going to live with this dark secret until they need it.
And I know that sounds terrible too, but I also feel like people who think and behave that way tend to get in trouble regularly. Again, so hopefully not.
Like, hopefully so we can solve Hannah's, but hopefully not so somebody else gets hurt. Yeah.
True that, yeah.
So, not that this holds any weight at all, but sometimes I like to tell you random related stories. Well, I read this article on Mysterious Universe that called Lake Lanier the Cursed Lake of Georgia. So, Lake Lanier is actually a man-made lake. And according to this article, the government bought up like all of this land for a hydroelectricity project, and then they flooded it to create Lake Lanier. Well, like 250 families were relocated and 15 businesses, and then 20 cemeteries along with all of their buried corpses. So submerged at the bottom of the lake are completely intact structures. Bridges, houses, businesses, toll roads, landmarks, lots of things just like creepily perfect at the bottom of the lake. It's like numerous underwater ghost towns. And what Lake Lanier also has are ghost stories. So, according to the article, which does mention Hannah, there were 17 deaths on Lake Lanier in 2011, most of which were ruled to be like freak accidents. And then in 2012, the same year that Hannah died, there were a series of violent deaths and terrible accidents associated with the lake. So in June of 2012, so the same summer that Hannah was killed, two children were killed in a boating accident. And then July of 2012, two young friends were involved in a tubing / jet ski accident, and one of them died. And then, of course, in August, Hannah was killed on the shoreline of Lake Lanier. In January of 2015, a man went missing, and then a month later, his badly decomposed body was found in the lake by a fisherman. In the late 1950s, two women mysteriously vanished in the area, and then like 18 months later, the body of a woman like floated out from wherever it was submerged, missing two toes and both of her hands. Unfortunately, at that time, they were unable to positively identify the body, but it was believed to be one of those girls. And then like fast forward 30 years, in 1990, they found the car that the girls were last seen in before they vanished and the body of the other girl. So now it's turned into some sort of like local legend with tales of this handless ghost haunting the area. And, you know, not that I think Hannah was killed by a ghost or something, but just, you know, interesting and mysterious stories about the history of Lake Lanier. So, Lieutenant Dan Franklin with the Hall County Sheriff's Office was the original investigator on Hannah's case, and he is actually still on this case today. He has since been promoted, and in his new role, they don't usually lead cases, but he said that Hannah's has stuck with him so much that he just could not give it to somebody else. So he co-leads it with another investigator from the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, so the GBI. Hannah's death has had such an impact on him that he said he keeps a Nintendo DS near him at all times. Like, it's on his desk at work as a constant reminder that Hannah's murder has still been unsolved. And that's what she was using to communicate. So, I've seen reports saying that police have suspects in mind or persons of interest, but there seems to be no movement on the case, at least to the public's knowledge. No one has been arrested, and so her family doesn't have the answers and closure that they deserve. To be honest, there isn't even a whole lot of information on the internet about Hannah's case. There are usually Facebook pages dedicated to the stories that I research, and she has one too, but it's pretty small and it's not as active as a lot of the others I've seen. But like I told you, her Twitter and Facebook pages are still accessible, so if you're interested and you want to check them out, you can find them just by Googling her name. But her Twitter handle is just @HannahTrueLove. And so if you want to see those, they're there. When people stop talking about cases, that's when they get forgotten and they go unsolved for decades and decades. And I don't want that to happen to Hannah. So, like, continue to spread the word. Like, her Justice for Hannah page is really small. So go like that page and go share things about it, especially if you have connections in Georgia specifically, because somebody knows something. Nearly 7 years later, the murder of Hannah Truelove remains unsolved. So if you have any information about her death or even about the vehicle that I described in this episode, please contact the Hall County Sheriff's Office tip line at 770-503-3232 or the Georgia Bureau of Investigations tip line at 1-800-597-8477.
Thank you for listening to Sideline Sleuths. If you have any comments or questions about this case or just feedback about the show in general, you can find us online at facebook.com/sidelinesleuths.